The second parak, starting out with Mishnah Aleph, is the only Mishnah that we'll talk about Erechin, and then we're going to go on a detour for the rest of the parak. Mishnah Aleph starts as follows: Ein ba'arachin pachos misela. When it comes to Erechin, if somebody wants to donate the Erech of himself or somebody else, the minimum amount is going to be that he has to donate one sela, velo yasara chamishim sela, and there's no more than 50 sela. And just a little bit background on this, if you look in the psukim, in fact, chamishim sela, when it says 50 sela, is if you gave a donation for a man who is between 20 and 60 years old, because those are the two variables. We look at the gender, and also we look at the age. So that's going to be 50, but the minimum in the psukim is 3 sela. That is for a girl who is very young, starting with the age of 30 days, a chodesh, up to 5 years. So where do we have a sela from? So the psukim say if the person who wants to give, who committed to give the erech, doesn't have the full amount of money that he committed to, he will go meet with the kohen. The kohen will appraise him and see that he can't give the full amount, and he will give him a dispensation to give less, and the minimum that he's going to have to give based on that dispensation is going to be one sela. Ketzad, what is going on here? A little bit more detail. Nasan sela veheshe. What happens if the kohen gave him that dispensation? You can give just a sela, not the full amount of the erech that you committed to. And thereafterward, after he gave the sela, he became wealthy. He won the lottery. Eino nosen klum. He doesn't have to give any more because he already fulfilled his commitment by giving one sela. Pachos mi sela veheshe. But however, if he gave less than a sela to fulfill his commitment, but you have to give a minimum of a sela to fulfill your commitment, and thereafterward, after giving less than a sela, he became wealthy. He effectively gave nothing. He did not fulfill his commitment. Nosin chamishim sela. If the erech that he had to give was 50, he has to give the full 50. Continuing, hayabiyada chamesh shlaim. What happens in the situation that he committed to give a significant amount, more than 5 shlaim? For example, he committed to give 50 sela, but he only have 5 sela. So now we have a question. Is the kohen who's going to give him the dispensation going to enable him to just give one sela, the minimum amount, or is he going to have to give everything that he has? So hayab yada chamesh laim Rabbi Omer eino nosen elechas. Dispensation, when you get it from a kohen, is to give the minimum amount, only one sela. You don't have to give everything that you have. The chachamim omrim nosen es kulam. Chachamim are of the view you have to give everything you have. You'd have to give the 5 slaim. And now we have a repeat sentence, Ein be'arachin pachos misela. When it comes to erachin, there's never going to be a time that you're going to give less than one sela, v'lo yeser ha-chamishim sela, and never are you going to give more than 50 sela. And the Mefarshim explain, why is this being repeated here? Because this is like the opinion of Chachamim, because we're medayik, Ein be'arachin pachos misela. It's never going to be less than one sela, but it may be more than a sela, even when you have a dispensation with a coin. And that's the shita of Chachamim, where we just saw, nosen es kulam. What we're going to have now is a number of halachas in this Mishnah and the next 2 Mishnayas that are going to be of the same template. There is never less than X, nor is there more than Y. That's what we just saw at the end of the prior sentence. This prior sentence, there's never going to be less than a sela for Erechin, and there's never going to be more than 50 sela. And we're going to say the same thing in a number of other contexts not relating to Erechin. Ein Pesach Latova Pachos Mishiva Velo Yesra Shivasar. This is talking about a woman who forgot where she is in her Nida cycle. And on the Nida cycle, on a high level, there's 7 days that are the Nida cycle. If you see in those days, you are a Nida. And thereafterward, if a woman would see during 11 days, she wouldn't be a Nida, she would be a Zava, potential Zava. And there are a lot of complications in how we define each of those, and a lot of complications in this Mishnah. But on a high level, we're talking about a woman who forgot. She doesn't know during that 18-day period where she is. Is she during the Nida days, during the Zava days? So in order to reset, in order to restart her Nida cycle, she's going to see a number of consecutive clean days. And the Mishnah is telling us that it will never be less than, it will be never fewer than 17. It will never be more than 17. I'm going to do the end of the Mishnah, of the statement. First, it's never going to be more than 17. Then that's a situation if she doesn't know where she holds, where she's standing right now, but she sees one day of flow, and then she has 17 consecutive clean days, so for a total of 18 days. When she sees thereafter, that's going to be the beginning of a Nida cycle. And as we said at the beginning, Ein Pesach Patoa Pachos Mishiva, there's never going to be a time that she can see fewer than seven. Seven is clean days, consecutive six clean days is going to be the minimum. That's a situation, as explained with the Gemara, where she had a flow that lasted a long time for 13 days. Thereafterward, she was clean for 7 days. After those days, she will now reestablish her nida. So when she sees after those seven clean days, she will be starting a new nida cycle. Now we're going to continue with that template. Ein b'negayim, we are now talking about tzaras. Ein b'negayim pachas mishavuechad. If somebody has tzaras on their body, certain types of tzaras, it will never be a confinement of less than a week. That's going to be a minimum when it comes to tzaras, 1 week. V'lo yeser al shlosha shvot. And when we have tzaras, there's never going to be a time that the person or item will have to be confined for more than 3 weeks. That's talking about when we have a house that has tzaras. They're going to be a maximum of 3 different weeks of confinement consecutive for a total of 3 weeks. Mishnah Beis is going to give us 4 different laws which follow the same template. We're going to start out with the first of the halachas, talking about the lunar calendar. On a high level, we have a lunar calendar such that each month is approximately 29 and a half months, but we cannot have a 29 and a half month. We have to make it either 29 or 30 days. And that's why we have both of them during the Jewish year. And the Mishnah is going to tell us that when we have a Chodesh Me'ubar, which is a full month of 30 days, we're going to never have fewer than 4 full months. Me'ubar is from the language of pregnant. We're never going to have fewer than 4 full months during the year. V'lanira yeser al shmon, and chachamim, we're not comfortable ever having more than 8 of them. Next halacha, number 2. Shtei halechem is the korban, one of the korbanos that is brought on Shavuos, the special korban only brought on Shavuos. And the Mishnah is about to tell us that it's baked the day before Shavuos and it's eaten on Shavuos. So there's never going to be less than 2 days between the baking and the eating, including the day that it's baked and the day that it's eaten. So shtei halechem nechalas im pachas mishnaim, it's never going to be fewer than 2 days. And it's never going to be more than 3 days. When will we have 3 days? So if Shavuos falls on Sunday, and you're supposed to bake it the day before, but you can't bake it on Shabbos, so you're going to bake it on Friday. So there's going to be 3 days between the baking on Friday and the eating on Shavuos, which is Sunday. Third halacha in this Mishnah, we're talking now about the Lechem Aponim. Lechem Aponim was baked on Friday, and it was replaced on the Shulchan the next day on Shabbos, and it sat there for an entire week and was eaten the coming Shabbos, the second Shabbos. So accordingly, it was 8 days between the baking on Friday and the eating 2 Shabboses later. Nechem Aponim, Nechalein Pachas Mitisha. There were never fewer than 9 days, because that's a total of 9 days. If you bake it on Friday and you eat it on 2 Shabboses later, it's never going to be fewer than 9 days between the baking and the eating. V'lo yeser al-acharasar, and it's never going to be more than 11. How you can have it 11? If Rosh Hashanah falls on Thursday and Friday, so you're supposed to bake the Lechem Aponim before Shabbos, but if it's Rosh Hashanah, it's Thursday, Friday, you're going to have to bake it on Wednesday. You bake it on Wednesday, you replace it on Shabbos, and you have to wait till the second Shabbos in order to eat it. That's going to be 11 days between the baking and the eating. Halacha number 4 in our Mishnah, Kata Nimal Ein Poachas Mishmona. There's never going to be a situation when we have a Mila from when a child is born until the Mila less than 8 days. That's the standard amount. V'lo yeser al shnemasar, but there is going to be a time that it's going to be as much, but it won't be more than, but it's going to be as much as 12 days. When is that going to be? So if this child is born Friday night, but it's not, it's between sunset and nighttime. So it's Bein HaShemashah, it's twilight. So it's a suffix. Is this Friday or is this really Shabbos? So we don't know. Come the next Shabbos, when the bris should be. Should the bris be on Friday or should it be on Shabbos? And because of a suffix, we cannot have it on Shabbos. You can't do it Friday. It may be too early. You can't do it on Shabbos because we don't know if that's the proper day. So it is pushed off to Sunday. But what happens if Rosh Hashanah is on Sunday and Monday? So we have to push the bris off to Tuesday. That is going to be Shnemasar, 12 days between when the baby was born and the bris is held. Mishnah Gimel continues our template, and now we're going to talk about something that we've seen in other Mishnayos, is that there were blasts in the Beis Hamikdash, and the minimum amount of blasts, it's a trumpet blast, and there are never fewer than 21 blasts in the Beis Hamikdash. A blast is made up of sets. 3 blows would be a tkia, trua, and tkia. And every single day in the Beis Hamikdash, there were a minimum of 21 blasts, 3 to open up the gates, and 9 for each of the korban tamid. So 3, 9, and 9 is 21. V'lo mosifin al 48, and there's never going to be more than 48. This is talking about Erev Shabbos during Sukkot, so you had a lot of additional blasts because you had for the Nisuch HaMayim, and you had for Musaf, and you had an additional six for Erev Shabbos. That adds up to 48. Next halacha that applies, and this is going to really be the theme for the balance of the parak, is going to talk about the playing of instruments and the singing by Levim and the Beis HaMikdash during the time of the Korbanos. So the Mishnah says as follows: when it comes to the playing of instruments that would accompany the Levim when they were singing, in Polchasi Mishnei Nevalim, there would never be fewer than two lyres, L-Y-R-E, that's a string instrument, that would be playing at the same time, V'lo Mosifa Malshisha, and there would never be more than six playing at the same time to accompany the Kohanim. And another halach in the same template, in Polchasi Mishnei Chalilim, when it came to the flutes that would play, this was at certain days, it was shortly, it wasn't every day that they brought the flutes out, there would never be fewer than two and not more than 12 flutes playing at the same time. And it was only on 12 days during the year that they said Halal Shalem that they would bring out the flutes, and the flutes would play in front of the Beis HaMikdash, they would be played in front of the Beis HaMikdash, and these are the days, the 12 days, Beshchitas Pesach Rishon, on the day that they shechted the Pesach, the Korban Pesach, on the 14th of Nisan, it would accompany the Hallel, Ubeshchitas Pesach Sheni, and also Pesach Sheni, it would accompany the Hallel of Yom Tov Rishon Shal Pesach. This is the third day, the first day, the third of the days that we're listing out, so it was on the first day of Pesach, and number four, Yom Tov Shel Atzeret, Yom Tov of Shavuos, and that's a total of 4 days, and now another eight, Ubeshmona Yomei Achag, the 8 days of Chag, that's the 12 days, Chag is Pesukis. Those are the 12 days that was they would say Halal Hashalom, and those were the 12 days that they would blow the flutes together with the Halal. And when they took out the flutes, we are talking not about flutes made of copper, but rather flutes made from reeds, because the reed flutes have a nicer sound. And in addition, when they ended off the music, they would only end off the music with one flute playing at a time, not with two or more flutes, because it gives off the nicest sound. Mishnah Dalet continues, when it came to who was playing the instruments, we have a three-way machlokas in this, and it's a little bit complicated. Hopefully we'll get through it fairly easily. V'avdei akonim hayu divrei Rabbi Meir of the view, even avadim, non-Jewish avadim, Canaanite slaves, even they could play the music. And his explanation is as follows: we are not concerned that people will see these people on the duchan. The duchan was a stone platform that was in the chatzer, in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. People will not learn from the fact that they are playing the instruments that they have good yichus, that they're Jewish and you can marry them. We're also not going to think that they're levim, so we can feed the maaser. Rabbi Meir says people don't extrapolate those things. We're not ma'ale. We are not going to extrapolate from the fact that they are blowing the flutes and the various instruments on the duchen that people are going to marry and give them masra. So that is the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Even on non-Jewish slaves can blow the instruments. Opinion number two, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Mishpachot Beis HaPcharim Hayu Masim Lakuna. So even it was only these families, prominent families, but they didn't have to be Levim, they didn't have to be Kohanim, according to Rabbi Yossi, the families of Karim and Tzfaria, and they were there from that location. Because they had good yichus, they would be able to blow the instrument. So according to Rabbi Yossi, you do have one of the two concerns, one of the two issues. When you see people blowing on the duchen, people indeed will assume that they have good yichus. So you have to assure that only people with good yichus will blow the flutes and the instruments on the duchen. But people will not extrapolate from that they indeed were Levim. So according to Rabbi Yossi, you don't have to be a Levi. We're not going to be concerned that people are going to give you masa, but you do have to have good yichus. Accordingly, we see that even Yisraelim were blowing, but as long as they were from good families that had good yichus. And the third opinion is Rabbi Chanina ben Atinganus Omer Levim Hayu. We are concerned. If you see people on the duchen and they're blowing the instruments, you indeed are going to assume that they have good yichus, and you also are going to assume that they're Levim and give them meiser. Accordingly, it can only be Levim who will blow the instruments in the Beis HaMikdash. Mishnah Hay actually gives us a new template. Before, we had the template of something that had a lower limit. and also had an upper limit, no fewer than this and no more than this. But now our new template in Mishnah Hey is we have a lower limit still, but we have no upper limit. And we're going to see a few halachas in that vein. It's going to be three in this Mishnah and one in the next Mishnah. Mishnah Hey says as follows, Ein pochasim mishashisha tlayim hamuvukarim belishkas tlayim. When it came to keeping inventory of lambs for the korban tamid. So there are two korban tamids each and every day, korban tamid shashachar, korban we have a limud that just like in Mitzrayim, when they took the Korban Pesach, they had to separate it 5 days in advance on the 10th of Nisan. So you had the 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th, then it was Shechted on the next day on the 14th. So too, 4 days in advance of using the Korban Tamid, we have to separate them, check them for Mumim, and leave them in a certain chamber called the Lishkas HaTlaim, and they would use it on an ongoing basis. So accordingly, you really need 8 at a time for the next 4 days, 8 at a time in the chamber, ready to go, and you're always replenishing. But what we're about to say in our mission is you will have to have a minimum of 6. It's talking about on day 1, for example, we've already used the 2 of this day, the Korban Tamid Shel Shachar and Tamid Ben Arbaim. So we had 8 in the morning, we used 2, we're down to 6, and at that point we're going to replenish up to another 8 for the next 4 days. Mishnah Hey says as follows, Ein pochasim mishisha tlaim hamuvukarim belishkas hatlaim. There are never going to be fewer than 6 lambs that have already been checked to make sure they don't have any mumim that are going to be waiting in inventory in the Lishkas HaTlamim. So that's our new template here. We have no lower limit. And the reason why we have, and this is actually just to remind us why we, that the number of days that we needed 4 days in advance, Kedai La Shabbos Ulishne Yamim Tovim Shel Rosh Hashanah. So in order to remind us how many days we need to have it, it's telling us the example would be that you need to separate it on Friday so you have enough for Shabbos and 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, which is Sunday and Monday, to be used on Tuesday. But that would apply not only then, it applies all year round. So now we have the lower limit based on our template. We have to have 6, the minimum, which is really 8. Umosivim ad lo'olam. And there, this is our new template. We have no offer limit. You can put an unlimited amount of lambs ready in inventory for even the next month, 2 months, 3 months, no limit on the amount that you have. Next halacha, number 2 of our new template, Ein pochat. We talked about the chatzotros, the trumpets that would blow daily between 21 and 48 blows. And now we're saying how many of those trumpets would blow at a time? No fewer than 2. And there's no maximum. You can have a huge amount of trumpets blowing at the same time. Halacha number 3 of our new template, Ein pochasim mitisha kinoros, when we would have the kinoros, the harps that would accompany the singing of the levim, there would be no fewer than 9. Umosifim ad olam, and there's no maximum. And now we have a side comment, as long as we're talking about all the instruments, even though it doesn't fit into our template, batzil tzal devad, and when you have cymbals, only one person would play the cymbals because they were so loud. You don't want it to drown everything else, so it was limited to 1. Mishnah Vav says, Ein pochasim mishneimasra levim omdim al ha-duchan. The minimum was 12 levim who would be on the duchan. The duchan is that stone platform that they would sing on. Why do we need 12? So the Bartanur says we want at least 1 singer for each of the 12 different instruments that are playing. There were 9 harps being played and 2 lyres being played and 1 of the cymbals. So that's a total of 12. 12 people playing instruments. You want a minimum of 12 people singing at the same time. And here again, we have our template, umosifim ad l'olam. There is not going to be any maximum of the number of levim that can sing at the same time. And now we're going to talk about levim that were underage. They were under the age of the bar mitzvah. Could they participate in kata nichnas lazar lavoda el b'shasha levim omdi mashir? A kata and a levi who is below the age of bar mitzvah, he would not be permitted to come into the courtyard, into the azara, in order to do the avoda, except at the time that the levim were singing. And they would be permitted to sing together with the older levim. However, they could not play the instrument. So it says, "V'lohayu omrim beneva v'chino." They would not be permitted to play the lyre and the harp, but they could sing. Why would they let them sing? Because they had beautiful voices. Could they liten tevel b'ne'ima? They would be able to harmonize together and make a beautiful melody with the older kohanim. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov omer ein olim leminyan. Even though we let the little kohanim sing together, but we said we need 12 people singing, the little ones would not count for the minyan. We need 12 above the age of bar mitzvah to do the singing, and then the little ones adding in addition to that number, veinomdim al haduchan, and also the ones below the age of bar mitzvah cannot stand on the duchan, ela ba'aretz hayomdim, they would stand on the ground, v'roshem mibein ragli ha'levim, and because they were on the ground and they were small, it looked like their heads would only reach, and they would only reach to the legs of the levim who were standing on the platform, and in addition, v'tzorei ha'levim hayu nikraim, and they were called, these below the age of bar mitzvah, they were called tzorei ha'levim. What is that? So it's either from the language of tzirim, which means young ones, or it means tzar, sorrow, that because the young ones' voices, as is explained in the Bar Tanur, their voices were so beautiful, it caused the older Kohanim to have sorrow because they were jealous that the young boys had such beautiful voices.